Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Gus shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So I'm going to start off there. It says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 is, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as an unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is really important because of this message. It's important to understand that, you know, we should be living a God-centered life. And Ephesians chapter 5 helps us kind of step through that. That's going to be a little bit of our framework for today. But the reason for that, again, is, folks, I don't know about you guys, but especially now that we're in 2026 and there's tons of information being all over social media, all over the television, all over the news, and word of mouth from one person to another, it's real easy to be distracted by truths or lies that are out there being projected. And so we can inadvertently find ourselves living a life that's not exactly ordered the way that we might see in scripture. We may be putting other things or elevating other things above God. And so that's not what we want to be doing. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to focus on developing, I'm going to give you five priorities. And the title of this message is God-centered priorities. We need to be focused on that so that we're not bombarded by all of these constant distractions that can leave us feeling like really overwhelmed, unsure of what truly matters in our lives. Because all these distractions, all they do is take, take, take. And it's real easy for us to just get lost in all the distractions. And so without those priorities that are rooted in God's word, we risk living a very reactive life. So rather than being deliberate, we just react to the things that happen in our life. And so that's why having some priorities allows us to have some structure to our day, and so that we're not caught off guard so much by all of the distractions that happen around us. We don't want our life to be driven by urgency, right? We need to be guided by that eternal purpose, which is steadfast, something that's dependable, where the untruths that we hear every day are not dependable for us. And so as followers of Christ, we're called to live with a very deliberate or intentional life while stewarding the time that God has given us. At the end of the day, it's important for us to recognize, you know, I'm standing here in front of you guys as somebody who is dying, just like everybody else that is here. We will die one day. You know, in Psalms, it tells us, you know, we're lucky to get to 70, and 80 is even more of a blessing for those that are strong. And then anything past 80 is bonus years, right? So it's important for us to remember that at some point there will be an end. And so we should be living in view of eternity and not in view of what social media is doing or other things, people in our lives or our careers or all that. So that's really the reason for this message, is just to help us remember that, to be deliberate. So we're going to unpack a bit of a framework for prioritizing our lives to glorify God and to advance His kingdom. So the reality is that our spouses, whether wife or husband, our family, you know, our children, our cousins, our aunts, our own mother, our own father, work, all that can become idols. And so we can begin to worship that or those things above God, and it can take the place of Him, which obviously is detrimental to our spiritual growth and our walk. So God should be the center of our lives. And so why these biblical priorities matter to you and to me, to be clear, a little disclaimer here, there is not a universal, like a singular universal list of priorities that you're going to go into scripture and you're going to find, or you're going to find elsewhere that says these five things are the exact priority, right? And I'll explain why that is, but that's my little disclaimer here, because some things may be applicable to you and some may not be applicable to you. If you're not married, then obviously that may not be applicable to you. Sometimes they're going to change based on different seasons of your life as well. So just have that in mind. So the finite nature of time, right? We know that it will end, and our stewardship, what we're commanded to do with that time, is really important. And so we start to see that, you know, we're going to jump off in Psalm 90, verse 12. It tells us, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." So we should be ensuring that we are numbering our days so that we can maximize our time. And so that prayer in Psalm 90, it's attributed to Moses, and it reflects a very profound truth, and that is that our time is limited, it's a gift from God, and we need to steward it faithfully. Those three things from just that verse, from that prayer from Moses in the Psalms, definitely important to understanding this sermon in context. And so stewardship teaches us that all we have, the time, talents, treasures, all of that belongs to God. None of that belongs to us. We are accountable for how we use those things. And so 1 Corinthians kind of outlines that for us. It tells us that God is the owner and we are the managers, okay? He owns those time, talent, and treasures, and we are here to manage it. So in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy." We should be found trustworthy when we are managing those three things, time, talent, and treasures. Our earthly lives are a vapor. In James 4:14, we've talked about this before. It urges us to align our priorities with God's eternal purposes. And it says that, "Yet you do not know what your life will look like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Time is created order, okay? And this concept may seem a little confusing to think about it, but in reality, the creation, everything that exists here was created by God. And so when we look at the time, the days that go by until the return of Christ, until the end times, this is created order. This is a time that was given to us in our lifetime in this temporal world. So Genesis 1:14 really is that beginning portion of it. It says it's not infinite, but it's limited, reflecting God's sovereignty over history of our lives. Okay. That's, again, not infinite, but the sovereignty over our lives is depicted in this verse. It says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for the days and years." So again, an end is implied, but we know that everything we're living through right now is ordered because God put it into place. And so that tells us that we need to steward this time that we're living in right now. And so to number our days is to live with a eschatological or end times awareness. We need to be aware and recognize that our time here on earth really is preparation for eternity. And in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We will be judged. We will be held accountable. We will be standing before the judgment seat, and we have to give an account while we're here in our fleshly bodies, our temporal world. And so the example that we see is Christ's example is the best example. He wants us to be intentional. So Christ's intentional effort to prioritize and actively engage in the mission of God, so the Missio Dei, Christ deliberately fulfilled what he was put here to do. He was a good steward of his time on earth, and so that is the greatest example to us. We should also be good stewards of our time. And so Jesus's life really exemplifies that perfect stewardship. So in John 17, verse 4, he says, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do." So again, he's highlighting that I've glorified you, God. I've done the things that you've given me to do here on earth. And on the cross, he declares what? He declares that it is finished. In John 19, verse 30, it says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." See, Christ lived a fully submissive life to the Father's will, and he was undeterred. He wasn't distracted by other things that are going on around him at the time. He was focused on fulfilling what was given to him to do. And so Jesus' obedience reflects his eternal sonship, right, from the Trinity perspective and the covenantal relationship that existed there. And so where he fulfills the Father's redemptive plan. So in Hebrews 10:7, it says, "Then I said, 'Behold, I've come to you to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" And so as believers, through Christ's example, through the lens of Christ and our union with him, we are called to emulate or live like he did. And so we're going to do this through being empowered and enabled by the Holy Spirit to discern and pursue God's will for our lives. And so an example of that is in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Again, it is God who works in you. We need to make sure that we are understanding that the things that we do, all that we're capable of doing on the earth, is through him, through being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in order to ensure that we're exercising these biblical priorities in our life, we must seek the Lord's wisdom, okay? We need to be grounded in scriptures. We cannot stumble our way through the day. We should be, again, deliberate in spending time seeking the scriptures to help us understand what these priorities are for us. And in James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." So James highlights there for us that in prayer, approaching the Lord, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask God. So it's accessible to us. We need to make sure that we are seeking the wisdom of God. And so this verse highlights our dependence on God's grace to navigate the complexities and the challenges that we face every day, day in and day out. And so this wisdom that we're talking about here is not like just what's wise or what's prudent at the time, but it's a, you know, having this wisdom is bestowed upon us when we seek it appropriately, and we have a healthy fear of the Lord. We're seeking to glorify him in what we're doing. And so Proverbs 9:10 tells us, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." And so what does this mean? That doesn't mean that we're cowering in fear in the presence of God. We are understanding that the truths that are in the scriptures are true, and that we are seeking to glorify him, and we want to be obedient. And we understand what, as we preached about recently, the wrath of God, we understand what that means in the end, and we understand that we'll be judged. And so we just have to be aware that this is living in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That means that we are seeking to glorify him and not ourselves. We understand the importance of him. And so wisdom begins by coming to faith in God through Jesus Christ, his son. And this saving knowledge leads us to understanding. And so that divine providence that we've kind of been talking about assures us that God guides those who seek him. So if you're somebody who is seeking wisdom and you have a healthy fear of the Lord and you're looking to get to know him, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Very clearly in Proverbs, if you've never spent any time there, it's the book of wisdom, right? And every time I open the book of Proverbs, something jumps off the page that's applicable to me from that day. And it seems like kind of incalculable that, like, ridiculous that I could look at the same book every day, but pick up something new or something that's really applicable to me in that day. But that's the beauty of Scripture is that it is truly applicable in almost every circumstance in our life. There's an answer in there for us. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that. Like, there's nothing in this world that we're enduring that somebody else hasn't already endured. And so there's kind of like hope in that, because somebody else made it, I can make it. I got to be rightly ordered in following what God wants me to do. And so as we establish these priorities, we must be trusting in his sovereign direction and what, knowing that he equips us to fulfill his calling. Folks, I just want to make it very clear. If he calls you to do something, he will give you the time to do it. And in this busy life, a lot of times we say, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy to go share the gospel with that guy that's been catching my attention every time I walk into 7-Eleven. I see him standing there, and every time I ignore it because I'm so busy, I have to get to my next destination. I got to do my next thing. Hey, God, I know you want me to write that letter to that person to witness to them, because that's the only way they're going to hear the gospel, but I'm too busy. I don't slow down enough. Hey, God, right? So we have all these excuses that we kind of inadvertently, well, I won't say inadvertently because it is deliberate, but we willingly put forth in place of what God is calling us to do. And so, you know, the important thing to remember here is, like, I am not perfect. So the next five priorities that I give you are going to be ones that I work on every day as well. So there's nothing that I'm doing that's standing here that's elevating me above you and passing judgment to you. I just want everybody to know these are things that we all struggle with and we all need to be focusing on. So in order to ensure that we're exercising these priorities, we seek his wisdom. And we need to understand what the eternal purposes for humanity are. Scripture reveals God's really just like big picture of what the purpose is, which is going to help us shape our priorities, right? So we are to be image bearers. We are created to reflect God's character and his glory. And so we find that in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. And again, we see that further enforced in Colossians 3:10. And so Genesis 1:26 to 28 says, then God says, let us make man in our image, our, indicating or in reference to the Trinity. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wow, right? He told us very specifically, I've made you in my image. That's what we're pulling from this scripture. It was deliberate. So how you are created and how you stand here today or sit in your chair or walk to the grocery store, that's how God made you. So don't live in regret that you don't look a certain way. God made you that way, and he created you that way with the intention of you being the perfect image of what he set forth. Okay? So don't ever be distracted by what the world tells you. Oh, you can't live this way. You can't look that way. All right? So Colossians 3:10 kind of enforces this, and it says, I've put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of his creator. So the other thing that we need to know is that the other eternal purpose for humanity is for us to worship God. That's really the premise of why we're created. We're created in the image of him to worship him. We are chosen to declare God's praise. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10 really hits on this. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Folks, that means that that applies to us. In that conversation that's happening there, once you were not a people, but now you're God's people, we were adopted into his family, right? Once you have not received mercy, but now you have it, we have mercy. We experience that grace and mercy. every day. And so Revelation 5:13 says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." So we, in today's world, we are here to worship. In eternity, we are there to worship. And so no matter where we're at, in whatever stage of our life, we are there to worship. So don't delay it. Every day is a chance for you to worship the Lord. And then we need to be conformed to Christ, right? We are predestined. We are to be transformed into the likeness of him. Every person, again, was made in the image of God. He intended that. And there's a process here. So Romans 8, verse 29 kind of helps us understand that. But we must understand what God's goals and desires are for believers. So if you're in Christ, we know that you are made in the image of him. We know that you are to worship him. And we need to understand what his goals and desires are for those that have placed their faith in Jesus. Okay? We need to love God. And we need to love our neighbor. So we need to be fulfilling the law through Christ's love, okay? So Galatians 5:14 is a reference to that, but we need to be seeking his kingdom first, right? Back to verse 6:33, which we read earlier in Matthew, and it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So seeking his kingdom first and prioritizing the eternal realities, so prioritizing our eternity over the temporal distractions, the temporal or the temporary daily things that we are interacting with on a daily basis. We need to be pleasing in serving him through self-denial, living out that sacrificial love, that agape type love that we talked about last week. And we need to be dying on our cross daily, every day. We need to pick up that cross. We need to be willing to hang it all out there and serve others in a way that may seem abnormal to some, those who are not peculiar, those who are not walking with the Lord. It may seem strange to them, but to us, this is normal practice. This is how we should be living our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16 exhorts us in saying, look carefully then how you walk, and not as unwise, but wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. We need to, again, make the best of the time that we have. This reflects really that kind of tension when it references the days are evil of living in a fallen world where we live, where there's lots of challenges, which is a gift, but it's also a battleground. Like every day, it's a battle. And I don't think anybody can say I've never had a day without some sort of challenge. Whether I'd be trying to get the car to start or the key doesn't work in the door, I've forgot my socks, like whatever it is. Every day we have some sort of challenge that we face. So we need to really redeem that day and that we glorify God in a very deliberate manner. And so this framework that we've kind of built here for these biblical priorities, we've been leading up to these five priorities right now. We know what is expected of us as we are made in the image of him. We're to worship him. We need to understand his goals and desires for us. The framework for that is to ensure that we are ready to live out these truths that we've just covered, and that we must establish set priorities to reflect God's purpose for us. Again, these are not rigid priorities, but they are dynamic, meaning they can change with the season of your life. And so below is this framework, okay? So first, priority number one is God himself, all right? That is your number one priority. And so from a theological mindset, right? Our relationship with God is the cornerstone. The cornerstone implies that everything else in our life is structured off of him, okay? So he's the cornerstone of our existence, why we live here. And we should be focusing on how we commune with God, our communion with God, how we live with him. And so Jesus affirms this for us in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. It says, "And he says to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Now, if we neglect that relationship, then we can very quickly find ourselves risking idolatry, because that means that we're going to put something else ahead of him. So we need to make sure that we don't neglect this relationship with God, and we should not be placing anything else above. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." So where's the practical application in this? Let's talk about this real quick. So the tabernacle, everything was at the center of camp. And so the tribes were camped out around the tabernacle. And so God was always at the center. That's why he was at the center. He should be at the center of their lives. So the question is, are we cultivating a strong relationship with God through daily prayer, reading scripture, listening to sermons? Are we meditating on his word? Are we journaling and self-reflecting? Are we looking to apply the truths that are found in scripture to our life?
As we close part one, let's take a moment to reflect on your life and your priorities. It is easy to say that Christ is first, but our time, our choices, and our focus reveal what truly matters to us. God calls us to live with wisdom, to redeem the time, and to seek his kingdom above everything else. This is not about perfection. It is about daily surrender. It is about waking up each day and asking the Lord to shape our hearts, guide our steps, and align our lives with his will. If you feel distracted, overwhelmed, or pulled in 100 different directions, remember that Christ invites you to come back to him. He is faithful, he is sufficient, and he alone brings lasting peace and purpose. When he is first, everything else falls into its proper place. We encourage you to join us next week for part two of this sermon. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio and, Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations, as we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.